always good to be here with you in Hayes, America. We always count it an honor to have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. And we're anticipating, again, great things today. And I see Isaiah here. How's your dad? I haven't heard lately. Doing better. Awesome. And I believe he'll just keep recovering supernaturally fast. That same spirit that quickened Jesus, raised him from the dead, dwells in him. And will quicken his physical, mortal body in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me in the scripture today to Matthew chapter 16. And I'll share just a short passage of scripture with you from the book of Matthew. I was ministering recently at the church I pastor, which is real recent a lot of the times, but 2 to 3 weeks ago. And I got this word, just a short word, all is well. And I was hesitant to share that word because I look what's going on the political realm. And then look at what's going on in some parts of the church and the body of Christ. But then I just kept getting it. I had squelched it. And then the next Sunday I got the same word. And then I just spoke that word out, all is well. And when I did that, I felt much like possibly the two spies that came back could... You know, Caleb and Joshua said, hey, we can take the land. And but nevertheless, they begin to frame their world by the words of their mouth. And when I spoke that word, all is well, the Lord gave me a message out of 2 Kings chapter 4, which the Shunammite woman, her son had died, and God had made a promise to her that she'd have a son. And when he did make that transition, she just said, all is well. She went to the man of God and put him in remembrance of the word that he had spoken to her and said, did not I desire a son? And now he's dead. And when you give me that word, I said, don't you lie to me. And she was so persistent in her faith that Elisha and Gehazi went to her house and raised her son from the dead. But she put a demand on what God had promised her. Now, when God promises you something or gives you a word, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is just going to be clear sailing all of a sudden. But he's given you a word that you know how the outcome is going to be, and you have a promise to hang on to in turbulent times and troubled waters, and you just keep going, worshiping and praising God because you know how it's going to turn out. All is well. So you turn to someone and say, all is well. All is well. Matthew chapter 16. If I keep teaching about or talking about all is well, I'll probably turn to 2 Kings and teach you from 2 Kings. Matthew chapter 16, and I read this passage of scripture to myself, and then I teach on it from time to time. And when I read it to myself and think on it and meditate on it and then teach on it, I'm always encouraged that Jesus is going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, Father, we come into your presence today, anticipating your goodness, your anointing, your favor, and your presence to rest upon everyone that has come this day. And Father, I thank you that everyone will be touched or sense your presence, and we'll not leave like we came. I will not leave like I came. We'll leave encouraged. We'll leave lifted up. Because of the presence of Jesus, and we thank you for utterance in the Holy Ghost, and we want to declare that you confirm your word with signs and wonders following, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Matthew chapter 16, now Jesus had been ministering and then came over to the coast to a small town there, Magalia, and they're on the Sea of Galilee. And then he goes up to the upper part of there, the Sea of Galilee. And then he takes his disciples up to Caesarea Philippi to teach them a lesson and give them, now I call it, officially it should be illustrated sermon, but a lot of times I call them orchestrated sermons, to give them one. And so I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, so he asked his disciples, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Now Jesus kind of answered the question that he asked to them. And then they said, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And as they shared with Jesus what people were saying about him, he said, well, I said, I really want to know something, but I'd like to know, whom do you think I am, or whom do you say that I am? And he kind of put them on the spot there, and then Peter spoke up, and he answered in verse 16, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, when Peter had a revelation about Jesus, he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, I can't help but think of John chapter 14, verse 1. When Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure, he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Now, when I minister sometimes to the crowds of people and then the congregations of people, if I were to ask in any crowd, do you believe in God, there would be a resounding yes or amen. But you and I must have an experience with Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and this is what he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And we must experience the presence of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to have a sense of victory in our lives and know what he did for us and who we are in him. Because it's knowing Jesus that enables us to walk as an overcomer in life. And so Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but the Father which is in heaven. So I want to give you just a little bit of a visual here before I read verse 18 to you. Now here they are. They've come to Caesarea Philippi. Do we have that over the picture on the overhead here? Here that had a couple pictures. Now this is Caesarea Philippi. It's they've gone up north now of the Sea of Galilee, if you're kind of familiar with the geography of Israel. And he's walked them up there, probably around 20 miles. And this is what they believed was the gates of hell. Next slide. I brought a couple here. Maybe you can see this a little better. This is pretty close up. And now you can see the gigantic rock there, but they believed this was the gates of hell. Now, I had other slides, but I didn't bring them. But here down below is where some, where they worshiped and offered to Baal, the god of Pan, and that some of the most immoral and disgusting practices took place here. It seems like an unusual place to bring the disciples to, a most disgusting place where they're offering to idols and even Baal worship at all kinds of sex gods. But he brings them here to Caesarea Philippi. Now there is a reason. They're aware here of what goes on. And then he says here, where everything is against kingdom principles, he makes this statement. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And then he says, and the gates of hell. Hold the picture up there, Felice, for just a moment. Let's look here. He says, now the gates of hell. This is what they thought was the gates of hell. Spirits going in and out. And he says, now the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now, when Jesus is making this statement, everything that is going on there has precedence or ascendancy against kingdom principles. And it seems like it's ruling and reigning. But he said, now guys, look here. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now Jesus is talking about a future church that you and I are part of. And he says, there's going to rise up a church. Bless God that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hell may look like it's prevailing here, but there's coming a church or a people rising up that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now, somehow, we, in our churches, we have become so comfortable that we really forget what we are called to do. And bless God, we're called to establish kingdom principles here in the earth. That's what we're called to do. And this morning, as we begin to teach you the Lord's Prayer that everyone is so familiar with, he says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he said what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And he's saying that there is a government from heaven that must come and rule on the earth. And I believe that God's kingdom, His rule, His administration is coming and descending on us today. And the will of God will be carried out here. Government authority from heaven will be carried out here. And bless God, the plan of God will come to pass. And the purpose that He has for this church and for your individual lives and your families. Kingdom principles are going to rule. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. I'm going to share some scriptures with you in relationship to resisting the devil's plan. Now, I just got a word the other day, but two or three days ago, and I shared with Morganson. You already know that. But it just is. It says, the devil is not intimidated by threats. Threats don't intimidate the devil. I mean, he's the champion of threats. Threats do not intimidate him, but it's those that carry out the word of God and become a doer. That's what intimidates him in Jesus' name. And I'm going to quote or go to a passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians. Now, if I could ask you a question before we begin. Not whom do you say Jesus is, but do you know what your responsibility is as a believer? Is in resisting the devil? Or are you just to go along with his plan, just status quo, and don't push back? And I'm going to answer that question by giving you some scriptures here as we go along this morning. Now, the devil is really persistent. I know we have one farmer here. Do we have any farmers here or just okay, here we go. Do you have bindweed in this country? Oh, you do. I tell you, you understand this, and Robin understands this, but bindweed is persistent. You just can't hardly get rid of it. You might think you've gotten rid of it a year or two, and oh, it starts coming back up a little bit. It's really persistent. Now, this is one characteristic that the devil has. He is persistent. And he will wait and wait until he can get the church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about you and I, lukewarm. And when we become lukewarm, it's not that we don't have a relationship, but we don't have fellowship with Jesus. And we don't rise up. And then we begin to base what we believe on what's happening to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and we leave out what the Bible says. It's our responsibility. And so I'm going to begin in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Now, the book of Ephesians, if you're a Bible student, of course, all scripture is good, but the book of Ephesians is really a good book to me personally. The first three chapters basically tells us who we are in Jesus. We've been raised up in heavenly places, all things put under our feet. And then in chapter 3, verse 10, it says that the darknesses and the forces of evil are going to know the manifold wisdom of God through the church. Now, there's a church that Jesus spoke prophetically of in Matthew 16 that is going to rise up. And it's rising up now. There's always been a remnant. And the gates of hell, whatever the devil does, will not prevail. Now, gates means an administration or government. And I said, what the devil's agenda will not prevail against the church. That means the church will kick down gates and encroach upon the enemy's territory and take back what the enemy's stolen. Now, that's going to take a church that is not passive, but it's going to take a church that is aggressive in Jesus' name and knows the power and authority of that name above all others. And every demon force will bow to that name. So in closing, Ephesians chapter 6, he speaks this way, and I'm going to read verse 10 or quote it, whichever. Finally, my brother. Now, is he talking to people outside of the church? He says, brother, Christian people. And he says, finally, just, I want to put an addendum on this or an end. And he said, now, all of these things that I've taught you now, here at the end, he said, now, Christian people, you must be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, in these first two verses of Scripture, he's talking about being strong and he's talking about being standing against the devil's plan. Now, in verse 11, the word wiles, we get our word in the Greek is from methodia, and that means a settled plan. Now, the devil has a settled plan, regardless of your age or my age. He has a settled plan to conquer us. And in that plan, if you read a Thayer's lexicon or helps, that plan will involve three things: deceit, trickery, and craftiness. Now, even though we have been prophetically spoken to, we're going to tear down the gates of hell. His government, the devil's government, will not rule in our lives, but kingdom, administration, and authority will rule in the church. It's his plan. His will be done in earth as in heaven. And we pray his kingdom come. When his kingdom comes, it's his administration. It's the government of God among us. Hallelujah. And so in that settled plan that he has to defeat us, and it's going to involve trickery, deceit, and craftiness. And verse 11 again says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. Now, this is where I ask the question, now, what is your responsibility and my responsibility to oppose the settled plan that the devil has to cause us to basically be non-productive in the kingdom of God? Or just become another church that's not a threat to the kingdom of darkness? Or another individual that's not a threat to witness to people and establish the kingdom of God or afraid to pray for people? Now, in this passage that I just read to you, he talked about standing, and we'd be able to stand against the plan. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. turn to someone and say, hey, you're more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now in this, I'm going to read several verses of scripture to you. I'm just going to catch the last part of verse 5. It talks about God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And talks about, don't try to do it in your own ability totally, but he says, cast your care on him because he cares for you. And then in verse 8. Now be sober, that means to be alert, paying attention, don't go to sleep on your watch. Be vigilant because your adversary, now there's a reason he's telling us to put on the whole armor of God. Now he's telling us we need to be alert spiritually because we have an adversary. It's the devil or Satan. And it says specifically here, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to ask you a question. You don't really need to answer me audibly. But in your peers and in the circle of your influence that you move in or you used to move in or move in now, have any of those wavered or actually sat down and become a casualty spiritually and quit fighting the good fight? Well, when I look at my peers, unfortunately some have quit and become ineffective. Do they still love God? Yes. But they've lost the fire. They've lost the anointing. But the Bible says God's gifts and calling are without repentance. All they have to do is get up, turn back to God, and repent, and God will restore. Make everything whole again. Amen. Now, this next verse is the one I want to call your attention to in verse 9. Whom resist? This is our responsibility. That's what we're called to do as Christians. When the devil comes sneaking around, we are called to what? Resist him, not yield. But resist him. Now, when we use the word resist or talk about resist, actually the word resist means to act against. I think everyone would know that. Strive against. And then I like the latter part of it says to strive against something successfully. Be successful in it. Now, I left out part of this definition that I'm giving to you. It means not to adopt the devil's plan. That I am called to be responsible not to adopt the devil's plan. Now, I think we all know when adoption takes place. We just had a granddaughter adopt a child, actually a black child. She already had three kiddos. They adopted a 13-year-old black gal and just has been a real asset to them. Just recently, last 6 months, I actually got the adoption through. Now then, when you adopt something, you feed it, you nurse it, you clothe it, you see that it's going to be successful. Now then, if I adopt the devil's plan, I'm going to talk about it. Oh, the devil's doing this, saying this. I'm going to nurse it. I'm going to keep it alive and do everything I can do unknowingly and unwittingly to see that the devil's plan succeeds. But we are called to not adopt the devil's plan. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's me or you. You're going to come in your Christian walk and growing. You're going to come to a fork in the road where you're going to have to make a quality decision or a choice. Am I going to resist the devil's plan or am I going to yield to it? You're going to resist it. You're not going to yield to it. You're going to resist the devil's plan. Now, I'm going to catch just a few other scriptures and for just a moment, and then I'll change and go to another passage of scripture. So turn with me to, you're here in 1 Peter, turn with me to James. You're close there. James just back a couple books there. So actually one book, James, and I'm going to read from chapter 4. Of the book of James. Now, I'm going to maybe elaborate just a little more here on the book of James and tie in with Peter. He talked about, you know, we were to be humble in ourselves and allow God's grace to enable us. And now here in James chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Let me read that from the Amplified Translation. I like the way it is translated here. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives us more and more grace. Now listen closely the way the Amplified renders this. He gives us more and what? More. Now there's times that the grace I was operating in wasn't enough grace for me. I need a lot of grace. And he says he gives us more and more grace. Now what is grace? It's the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency. Now, God gives us grace to meet any what then? Evil tendency or to resist the adversary. And then he goes on to say this, and all others fully. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble-minded enough to receive it. And be subject to God, stand firm against the devil, and resist him. Now, as Amplified, resist him, and he will flee from you. Now, let's cover that again just briefly. Now, then, when the evil tendency, and I would just call it temptation, James talks about it in the first chapter. He said, you're not, God doesn't tempt you, but he said, you're tempted by your own lust, and then we're drawn away. Now, he said he would give us grace right in the midst of any evil tendency. Now, Spurgeon had a saying, you hear a lot of people, pastors or ministers quote this, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest. Now, when those thoughts come to derail you, we are called to resist him. Now, I didn't elaborate it on a lot in Peter, but he said, stead fast. Now, when he uses the word steadfast, that indicates to me there's going to be a season or a period of time that I'm really going to have to stand steadfast. And he actually talks about that in Peter chapter 1. When that season comes, now he says, you're going to have to resist the devil, steadfast in the faith. You're just going to have to keep quoting the Word of God or standing fast on what God has promised you. Now let me finish here in the book of James, even though we pretty well read it all, but he said, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, let's just change the word resist. I don't want to do disgrace to the scripture or anything. Don't adopt the devil's plan. Don't adopt the devil's plan. Don't adopt his plan. Say audibly to yourself, I'm not going to adopt the devil's plan. That was kind of good, but I know you can do better because you guys are so awesome. Let's say together, I'm not going to adopt the devil's plan. All right, that's awesome. Thank you. Now, so James, we found out what James is saying about it. We found out kind of what Peter was saying about it. And then I'm not going to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Paul said to resist him also steadfast in the faith. But actually, Paul said this way, give no place to the devil. Now, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to give you an example of resisting the devil or the devil's plan or his purpose. Because he has a settled plan to defeat you. Now, I used to, several years ago, have a coon dog named Toby. And we had a van then. And there was a driver's seat, nothing in between, and then no console or anything in between, and then the passenger seat. And I started letting Toby ride in the van. Right here, between the passenger seat and the driver's seat. And then it kind of went this way, when no one was in the passenger seat, Toby loved to ride in the passenger seat. And so then when Margaret would ride in the van, she didn't want that dog close. But we'd go along and pretty soon Toby would lay his head over on her leg. Toby, get away from me. And you know what she'd do? Margaret would scoot over in the seat. And you know what the dog would do? Pretty soon that dog would be in the seat. Because she would just keep giving to try to get away from it. Instead of just standing your ground. So that's exactly the way the devil works. The dog had a plan to get in the seat. And he was patient. And you know what he did? He worked on emotions, and it worked to get there. Now, this is exactly the way the devil works us. Now, I'm going to give you an example out of Jesus' life. Matthew chapter 4. Now, Jesus has just been baptized in the Jordan River there, and it really is what I would call a supernatural, not that all baptisms are not supernatural, but there comes a voice from heaven. A dove shows up. And actually the Spirit of God descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. And then I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 3 and then flow into chapter 4. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, or a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, what does this voice from heaven say about Jesus? He said, this is my Son. He's my beloved Son, and bless God, I am well pleased. I mean, this is confirmation from God that Jesus is the Son of God and the Father's well pleased. And then you find this account in Luke 4, Matthew 4, both. And then Jesus went into the wilderness. Now, Jesus is referred to in the book of Corinthians as the last Adam. Adam is the one that committed high treason and sold us out. Now, so Jesus must pass every test that Adam failed. And this is part of that in Jesus. And so there in the wilderness and being tempted, and then he was tempted 40 days, 40 nights. And actually, the scripture, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but it said he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward, he was hungry. Now, I know that when I'm hungry, I'm ready to eat. I'm not too picky, if I'm hungry, I'm just ready to eat. Whether it's egg and bacon, steak or whatever, I'm ready to eat if I'm hungry. So now the devil, his plan is to wait on Jesus for a week time in his life. Now verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. What did the Father just say about Jesus? You are my Son. You're my beloved Son. And he's just got a word from the Father. Now what does the devil do? He waits a little bit and he said, if you are the Son of God. Now the devil is always going to come. Probably everyone here has gotten a word from God sometime in your life, but pretty soon circumstances will begin to erode that word unless you keep it fresh. The winds of adversity will begin to erase it. And then the devil comes and says, did God really say that to you? And then I've been going through a lot of difficult times. I guess maybe he didn't. That's the tendency. Can you imagine Jesus has just heard his Father say, you are my beloved Son. And now, after he's fasted and hungry, the devil comes. If you really are the Son of God, you need to prove something. Command these stones to turn into bread. Now, for instance, in my life, I've been ministering just like your pastor since 77. I actually started in the latter part of 76, so that's a lot of years. And I had on my mirror that I shaved. And I don't shave with electric. I'm still using the old-fashioned razor. So I had on my mirror different words. And then scripture had basically on the 123 Paul Avenue where we live. And I had scriptures like Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all of those that were oppressed of the devil. I had scriptures like Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which that means, talking about the year of Jubilee, that means now you don't have to wait any longer. And then Jesus, when he finished reading, he sat down, closed the book, and he said, this day Is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? And then that incensed the religious people. Who does this guy think he is? You don't have to wait any longer. It's right now today. But sometimes just pastoring, dealing with challenges along the way, you've never forgotten the verses, but they have no meaning. Because they've been eroded by circumstance. But if you stay in His presence, stay in His presence, those verses come alive. And Luke 4:18 has never been more real to me than it is right now. I have been sent. How have I been sent? I've been sent anointed. And I have never seen such brokenness and hurt among believers than I am seeing in this day that I'm living. But we've been sent to heal the brokenhearted, the disappointed. We have a mission to do. And actually in Matthew chapter 4, Luke 4, I quoted verse 2, verse 18, starts at verse 16. And Jesus came into His hometown where He'd been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And He opened the book and found the place who it was written, as I quoted verse 18 to you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That is a bold statement. We have been sent for a purpose. Not to just give a message, but we've been sent to set people free. We've been sent to teach them. Matthew chapter 9 in the Amplified. Would you find that for me right quick? Just find chapter 9. I've got where I can go in the Amplified. But Jesus, when He saw the multitudes that were distressed, didn't have any way. And so He sits down and He begins to teach them. And I'm going to begin reading to you in actually verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Hallelujah! The gospel is good news. The gospel of the kingdom. Curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. So when He saw the throngs or multitudes of people, He was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered, they were harassed, distressed, dejected, and helpless. Now, I know none of you have ever felt that way. But you probably have known someone or some ones that have. Just, what am I going to do? This is the way the multitude was. And He said to His disciples, the harvest indeed is plentiful, but the labors are few. And then said, pray the Lord and thrust forth labors in the harvest. Now Mark's account, when He saw them that way, He just sat down and began to teach them. He taught them how to overcome. He taught them that they were more than conquerors. And began to tell them who they was through Jesus Christ. Now, the body of Christ has been taught for quite a few years in the overcoming message. And now it's time to rise. Higher. Higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. Get above the fog and the smog of religion and sectarianism. Get in the presence of Jesus. Get above bickering, resentment, and unforgiveness, all those ugly things. Get in His presence. Get in His presence. How does Jesus handle this temptation when the devil comes? If you really are the Son of God. The Father had just told him. Now I'm asking you, how are you handling, or how have you handled what God has spoken to you in times past? Listen, it's just now in this season of my life that I'm entering into what God has promised me, because sometimes I was a little lax in pursuing it because of adversity and circumstances and just doing the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is important, but it's not as important as spending time with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. At this season of my life, I'm up early, praying, seeking the face of God. Margaret said, "You're surely not going to get up early this morning." Sure, she's sleeping with me. Well, I tried to defer it. Finally got up, went out in the hallway. It's incredible how light the hallway was. I could actually see to read. But it's also incredible how early people was getting up in the motel and coming to the elevators. I was right there in front of the elevator. So I was a little hampered there in spending time with him in the way I normally do. But if we're going to stand firm and not adopt the devil's plan, we must keep God's plan before us. Now, I didn't today, but every day this week, I wrote down on a piece of paper, 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 8 things I write down. I can write it down on a half a sheet of paper. What does that do? It keeps the answer before me. It shows my purpose. It shows what I'm called to do. I am anointed. It keeps it before me. Now let me find Matthew chapter 4 again. Close my Bible. If thou be the Son of God. Man, if the devil will pull that on Jesus, what do you think he'll pull on us? But he answered, or Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not, listen to this, we just kind of touched on, man shall not live by bread alone. Brother Hagin used to tell us, we're pretty faithful to eat 3 meals a day. But sometimes we never eat anything spiritual, maybe once a week. And it may not be too good. Talking about feeding them. Man shall not live by bread alone. But what are we going to live by? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why you write the vision down. That's why you write down the word that God gives to you. If somebody has prophesied or spoke prophetically over you that rung your bell, you should have it written down someplace and keep yourself in remembrance of it, because circumstances will erode it. And you start adopting the devil's plan, living second rate, living below average or normal or an average Christian life. Listen, the world has seen enough of average Christianity. Let's rise up and be who we are called to be. Amen. The sons and daughters of God that are ushering in the kingdom rule administration of God in our services and in our community. Right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. That is why it is so important to hear the Word of God. What is God saying to the church? What is God saying to me individually? What is God saying about my children? Write it down. And look at it. and rewrite. Now the devil, we touched on it, he's pretty persistent. The devil taketh him into the holy city. I'm not going to go into detail, but in this passage I'm reading to you through verse 11, the devil is giving him an opportunity to become ruler of the world and bypass the cross. If you just fall down and worship the God of this world. The devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Once again, if you're really the Son of God, let me see something here. Do something presumptuous. Still not. See, he's just heard the voice. Man, you know, once you get a message of who you are in Jesus, that God is for you, all things are possible. Seems like somebody is always wanting to knock you back down. This is what the devil's doing. Then the devil take him up into the holy city, set it on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. James the Just, one of the apostles, was thrown off of this temple over 100 feet, survived the fall, and then he's clubbed to death. The devil's wanting Jesus to do something stupid. Let the law of gravity go in force. What does Jesus say? It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Every nation, the glory, the wealth that is there. Then he said to him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship him. See, there's the shortcut of the cross. But the Bible says if the devil had knew the plan of God, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory. And he saith unto him, all these things I'll give thee if you'll fall down and worship. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Hallelujah. Now he had to resist him, like it says in Peter, steadfast in the faith. See, we try to resist him one time and he comes back and says, oh, what's the use? It doesn't work. Listen, the name of Jesus works, and at the name of Jesus, spoken authority and faith, the devil must bow to the name. He must bow to you when you speak that name in faith. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus had to deal with him three times in that season. Listen, if Jesus had to deal with him three times in that season, we'll probably have to deal with him a little longer. Listen, and you are the sons and daughters of God. That's who you are. So rise up and be who you are called to be. It may be stumbling at times. It may look like you're not going to make it. But bless God, you will rise higher and higher, and the manifestation of God's glory and His power will be manifest through you in your life. The world is just waiting for you. Hey, it's America. It may not look like it, but it's waiting for you. Amen? And then when Jesus went from that place, those that sat in darkness saw a great light. I mean, he went from that place with the presence of his Father upon him, anointed. Anointed. Because he had been sent to heal the brokenhearted. Set at liberty the captive. Open the prison doors. And set people free. How you deal with people, all of you. You all know circumstances where it seems like God ear is deaf. And I'll try to close here with this passage of scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. And he starts out basically saying what I just said to you. The Lord's ear is not deaf that he can't hear, nor his arms shortened that he can't bring deliverance. And then the rest of the chapter, almost down to the closing part of it, paints a real bleak picture. It doesn't look like God is doing anything. Justice stands afar off. And those that are doing wrong, they seem to be prospering. Justice and judgments, Scripture says, is far off and it's fallen in the street. And equity or right can't even enter, because wickedness is so dominant and prevalent. Now, what I like about this passage of Scripture, or this chapter, is verse 19. Now, he says in one verse what his plan is. And it's not anything that's been mentioned. Now, I'm going to tell you what my plan is. When everything's the darkest, when nothing looks like it's not working, he says, this is what's going to happen. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. That's west and east. And are anybody here pilots? No small aircraft? No commercial? No wannabes? The reason I ask that question, you can fly west and keep flying west. Your compass never changes. Same way east. You fly north or south and your compass changes. You go past magnetic north, your compass passes south. It's the same way when you're going south, it's going to point back north. And he's talking about something that is beyond our ability to imagine, that is endless and it's very vast and great. It's not unusually used east and west. And he said, you're going to see God's glory. Well, they were talking about how bad it was. What does God say in the midst? He said, you're going to see my glory. I'm looking for the glory. And then he said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, that's where it's punctuated in the King James. When the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, in the NLT, right quick there, and let's read that in the NLT. And it actually changes the punctuation. I believe the Message changes it also. But it puts on a different emphasis. CEV, Contemporary English. What do we got here? NLT, here we go. In the West, people will respect the name of the Lord in the East, and they... my eyes didn't jump that fast. In the West, people respect the name of the Lord in the East. They will glorify him, for he will come. Now, who's going to come? Now, who's going to come like a raging flood tide driven by the breath of the Lord? Who's going to come like a flood? God is God's plan, for he's going to come like a raging flood. Now, punctuation put in a translator's option. If you just change it in King James, that's what it's saying. In fact, I have written here in around the edge of my head, just a little room, I have Rotherham. It says, for he will come like a rushing stream which the breath of the Lord driveth. If you can show it up there in the Message, it basically says the same thing. Who needs a guitar pick? I just found it here on the stand. I'm a wannabe with a guitar. You reckon that's a prophetic sign from the Lord? Here we go. In the West, they'll fear the name of God. In the East, they'll fear the glory of God. Now listen, for he'll arrive like a river in flood stage, whipped to a torrent by the wind of God. What is God going to do when all seems lost? He said he'd come like a flood. And I think that even up here, you got enough rain and creeks around here, you know what a flood is. Where I live, they don't even know what a flood is. But it's, see, you can contain a creek or a river, but you can't contain a river at flood stage. It breaks out of the banks. You can't contain it. And but it just kind of takes everything with it that's in its way. He said, bless God, there's coming a time that God's coming like a flood. And that was set up to oppose the plan of God will be demolished. That's what I'm looking forward to. Coming like a flood. Stand with me. Amy Grant used to sing a song. The voice of darkness, the voice of light, the one you listen to will win the fight. So much truth in that. Now the season that you and I are living in, we must hear the voice of God. The voice of darkness, the voice of light. The one you listen to will win the fight. And amidst all the turmoil and the busyness of life, we've got to find that secret place. Let's worship the Most High God. Father, we lift our hands unto you. Father, we see men and women here. Young people. We see your favor. Father, I see power. Some of these young people, I just go, oh my goodness. It'll be said to them like we said to Jesus, well, we knew him. He was a carpenter. How's all these things being done? It's because they stepped into his presence and got under the anointing. Hallelujah. Father, I declare that when we leave this place, we leave in your presence. And the Spirit of God has stirred up some things on the inside of people this morning. Has stirred it up. And Father, I pray that you don't let them forget it. Don't let them forget it. Father, may this be the best days of their life. May they be blessed with the favor from on high. May the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven be theirs. And may their chariot wheels drop of the fatness and the blessings of God. And Father, it's because they sought you. It's because they sought you. They searched you out. They chose to believe the report of the Lord even when it looked like all was dark. But now they're entering in to that season of favor and blessings. Because they did resist steadfast. They did resist steadfast. They didn't adopt the devil's plan. Now I'm going to just preach to you a little bit while we're praying. Listen, God's also got a plan. We didn't talk about that a lot, but God's got a plan. That's the one we adopt. That's the one we nurture. That's the one we keep alive. We adopt his plan. And Father, I ask, starting with me, that we leave more change to be like Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Young and old, hand in hand we shall go to do the works that are yet untold. I tell you, I am seeing some mighty men here. And you'll be amazed who some of them are that rise up. We that are older, we need to be mentoring. We need to be sowing into other people's lives to leave a legacy. Father, we declare, kind of hard for me to close. I'd just like to pray for every one of you individually. But really, time doesn't permit. You've been so kind and gracious. So, Father, reminded of the scripture in Genesis chapter 12. You said you'd bless those that blessed Abraham. Father, these people have blessed us, so bless them. That's what you said you'd do. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to someone and say, bless God, I'm all in, all out for God. If you remember that. All in, all out for God. Then you can be seated. Okay, Tom? Okay.
We sure have a faithful God, because every time when Pastor Wes or Pastor Tim has to be gone for some reason, he always makes sure we get to hear the word. And today he sent us a gift from Oklahoma through Pastor Charlie and his wife Margaret. And he shared the word. We got to hear the good news of the Lord through Pastor Charlie today. So what we want to do is honor him and take up an offering for him and bless him for what he's done for us. So, ushers, if you come forth, we just ask people that you just give whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to give, just minister into your hearts and just be a blessing to Pastor Charlie and Margaret. So we thank you, and go ahead and pass the baskets. And as soon as they're finished, I've got the mic. So I really found out last Sunday you can really do a lot of things when you've got the mic. So I have an announcement to make when we're finished with the offering.
Let me have it just a minute. Oh, I'm on. I don't need it. I want to remind you that it's pastor's appreciation, and part of this offering that you're giving me will go to your pastor, because the pastor's appreciation month.
That'll be the last Sunday of the month. We're going
to do that. I better do it for this next Sunday so I won't forget it.
Next Sunday? Okay. You can do it whenever you guys want to. If you guys get those baskets full and have to go dump them, come back and get some more. They're still coming in. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
So, okay. We want to thank you all for coming out today. We just ask that you keep Belinda Brown and her family in your prayers, because her passing of her dad yesterday. So, just lift them up. Pray for Pastor Tim, Pastor Wes. And now I got to make an announcement that today is my lovely bride's birthday, and I just ask that you all just join in with me and sing happy birthday to her. Okay, I'll start it out. Her name's Marlene. So, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marlene. Happy birthday to you.
We love you, honey.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.